So going to try to speed up the sermon. I got my timer on. I'm going to keep an eye on it. Because I know how much some of you are suffering with this heat. But we're going to talk this morning about the subject of change. And I want you to notice the screen of opening this new door, this bright door to change. The reality is that the life is full of changes, but so is the Bible. And when people try to fight with all their might and strength changes, sometimes they just make themselves miserable. And the Bible does give us an answer as to how we handle change. But like I said, the Bible is full of changes. For example, we're very familiar that God has changed certain men and their names to reflect his work in them. God's law has changed. We can see that change taking place at least three times in the Bible. The worship of God has changed. Much of the Old Testament, we see the building of altars and the offering of sacrifices, animal sacrifices. But we don't have that today. We don't have animal sacrifice. We are the sacrifice. And there's a change in that. In fact, God has changed his mind. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 14, you might remember this story where God has just had it with Israel and that first generation. And he tells Moses, step aside. I'm going to demolish these people. I'm going to destroy them. And I'm going to restart everything with you. And I don't know about you, but if I'm honest, if I was Moses, I'd be like, well, that sounds pretty good. These people are constantly complaining. They're just dragging me down day after day. They don't appreciate God. They don't appreciate me, and wipe them out. But that's not the mindset that Moses had. Instead, Moses prayed to God. He communicated with God, and he was able to convince God to change his mind. And that's something important to recognize, because there are quite a few passages in the Bible that reflect that God does not change, and that he's not like man to change his mind. That doesn't mean that God cannot be persuaded to change. That doesn't mean that God never changes his mind, but he's God, and he knows what is best. But we actually have stories in the Bible where, like Moses, gets God, the Creator, to change his mind. But we really can see that if there is a theme in the Bible, we know the Bible story is the story of salvation. Well, to get that salvation, it takes change. That's why so many are not willing to really come and to follow Jesus according to his record, to his revelation, because men don't want to change. And that's what the Bible is all about. It's taking your life, put in the hands of Jesus Christ, and letting him mold you, being prepared for that heavenly home and eternal life. So the Bible is full of changes. And there can be in life negative changes. There can be positive changes as well, and we're not going to really deal with those this morning. There's probably a couple things I could say that would be a good message about that, but I'm going to focus on changes that we perceive to be negative changes. For example, losing a loved one, being told you have a disease, sending your children off to college. Sometimes it's not only a negative change, it can be a very difficult change. And then thirdly to all that, Sometimes negative and even difficult change comes because of sin. Sin brings about change. Sin can bring about difficult change. So let's just kind of very quickly look at some examples of change in the Bible, some difficult changes. One of the very first things we see as far as change in the Bible is where Adam and Eve have to change where they live, where they dwell. In Genesis 3:24, so he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned in every direction to guard the way of Tree of Life. The Bible tells us that Adam lived over 900 years. And I can imagine a great majority of those 900 years, he had to think about where he used to live and because of sin, where he now has to live. What a change that was. A negative change. A difficult change. We have in Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2, where Abraham, we read many times before this, where he's building these altars and he's become accustomed to offering these animal sacrifices. But then all of a sudden, that changes in Genesis 22. He is still going to build an altar. He is still going to sacrifice to God, just like before. But what has changed is the sacrifice. He says to Abraham, you're going to sacrifice your promised son, this son that you've been waiting for. You could talk about a difficult change, a negative change. And yet, at the end of that, we see how Abraham handles all of that. And it really becomes a great, great example for us when we face difficult change. In Galatians 3, 24 and 25, Paul writes, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Paul is writing this to a group of Christians that has been influenced that, listen, that change that came about between the law of Christ, or excuse me, the law of Moses to the law of Christ, the old versus the new, that was a difficult negative change. And some Jews, even Christians, wouldn't give that up. They wouldn't give up the law of Moses. They didn't like that change. And in that example, the negative change was not handled properly, spiritually. And many ruined and ran shipwreck of their faith. And so the Bible is filled with examples of change, even negative change, difficult change. So that brings up this question that for us, how should Christians handle change? Change that we perceive to be negative. Change that we perceive to be difficult to handle. Well, I want to give you very quickly some ideas here of what I believe the Bible reflects. Not that we're going to be able to change the difficult change. We're not going to be able to take it from a negative and just all of a sudden it becomes a positive. But how can we take these difficult negative changes and handle them in a Christ-like manner? The first thing I would say is that we need to realize that even difficult change can be positive. Let's look at these passages quickly here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and I apologize because I realized that I went to this just a couple weeks ago, and I don't want to go to the well too often, but when I thought about this point, this passage just resonates with me. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Again, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, that just doesn't sound right. Why would God say it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting? Well, the answer is this, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. Here's this difficult situation where you've lost a loved one. you go to the house of mourning, and what? Well, those types of changes can make us and should make us, can make us and should make us take personal stock in ourselves. And that's what Solomon is saying. Solomon is saying it's good to go to that house of mourning, not because that's positive change, not because that's easy, but because it puts things in perspective. It can bring something positive. The loss of a loved one is not all of a sudden, oh, that's just going to be something good and positive. No. But the idea of being able to make something that's negative and make good come out of it. And that's what God is all about. God didn't stop us from sin, but he made good come out of it. He brought positiveness out of it. He gave us a way that we can defeat it in our lives. In James chapter 1, verse 25, James talks about looking at the mirror, looking at the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty, and not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. And so there is this principle in the Bible that as we go through this life, and especially as we go through these changes, these difficulties, these challenges, that what we need to do is we need to take personal stock in ourselves and to check our perspective and how we're handling these changes. How many of us, I shouldn't even say that, all of us remember this. I remember exactly where I was when I heard about 9/11. There's no way you can take 9/11 and somehow just say, well, it's a positive thing that happened. No, it was one of the most ugly things that ever happened in the history of our country and the history of mankind. I wasn't alive when Pearl Harbor happened. But that's another one of those things people remember where they were when it happened, because it was just an all-out tragedy. But all of us, this is that Pearl Harbor in our life. This is that tragedy in our life. And there's no way to change that. What's done is done. The facts are the facts. But do you remember when we went through that? There was a lot of positive in our country at that time. We had our leaders on both sides of the aisle telling us to pray to God, to turn to your faith. We had our fellow mankind sacrificing everything to help those that were affected by this. There was this incredible unity and patriotism. There was a lot of good that came out because what? We as a country kind of took personal stock and said, hey, all this turmoil that's going on in our country, it's not that important. What is important is that we stick together. I remember that still today. But unfortunately, as time went on, that kind of got forgotten. And we went back to our old ways. So one of the things we can do is kind of look at ourselves and see, what can I do to make something good come out of this? Bring positive out of this. The second thing we could do is this, is look at our perspective. You know, change can challenge us to look at our perspective, this world, this life. And this is kind of a stemming from number one. This is kind of point two, maybe point 1B. We can change our perspective, challenges us to make sure that we're looking at things and putting first things first and making sure that we're looking at things and placing the right importance on them. Definitely, when you become a Christian, God's going to change your perspective. God's going to change what you think is important and what is really not that important. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, In the days of Elisha the prophet that took over for Elijah, here they are in the city of Dothan. He is there with his servant, his attendant, and they spend the night there. And the next day, the next morning, the attendant wakes up and he goes outside. And look at what happens, verse 14. This is talking about the king of Aram. The king of Aram had sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Now then, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he goes outside, and overnight this army has surrounded the city. And there are mighty soldiers and chariots and horses. And he comes in to say to Elisha, "We're in trouble here." His perspective is, we're going to die. We're going to get captured. This is all negative. This is a big negative change. And he goes inside, and he's probably flabbergasted that his master has a very different attitude and a very different perspective. So we answer verse 16, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Hey, it's going to be okay. We've got more than they do. And I can just picture this attendant going, "What, are you crazy, old man? There's only two of us. Have you lost your mind?" But then verse 17, Elisha prayed. And that should definitely be something of every change that goes through. We need to pray to God. Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Elisha prays to God, and all of a sudden the perspective changes. God opens his eyes, and now he sees God's army surrounding this great Aramean army, and now everything's changed. We're going to be okay. Now I get what you mean. There's more of us than them. And that's what change can do. It can open our eyes to things that we've just been ignoring. And so change, even negative change, can help us. Can open our eyes, challenge our perspective. It also reminds us that we are not always in control. And this is where I think a lot of Christians struggle and lose the joy of Christ. I know I've gone through this. When change comes about and we perceive it to be negative and difficult, it's difficult a lot of times because we feel like I'm not in control. And we don't like that. And so immediately we try to take control and we try to manipulate things. We try to change things so that we're in control again. But change reminds us, sometimes we're not always in control. In 3 John 9, we learn of a man that loved to be first and in fact thwarted the plans of the apostle John, a man by the name of Diotrephes. It was all about him. It was all about him being in control. And when the apostle John wrote something he didn't like, something he didn't agree with, he kept it away from the congregation. John says we'll have to deal with that. In Proverbs 29:11, let's go over to Proverbs 29, verse 11. There we read, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back." Oftentimes people lose anger because they feel like they're not in control. They want to be in control. And anger is one of those ways that we try to take control. I've used that in my parenting, unfortunately, and it doesn't work. I try to control my kids with my temper and my anger. It doesn't work. And if we try to control life and control others the same way, it's going to bring about more change and more negative change in that perspective. Think about Pharaoh. Pharaoh just had to have everything his way. There's no way he's going to let his workforce, these Israelite slaves, go, even if it means his entire country is just devastated and destroyed. Why? Because he didn't want that change. He wanted to be in control. So change makes us see our need for God and his ways. That's the way it should be. When we understand I'm not in control, well, who isn't? God is in control. And we need to let God be in control, because he can do it a lot better than we can. We know that there's two sides to Christianity. There's two sides to salvation. There's the part that we have to do, and then there's the part that God does. God does what we can't do. There's that fine balance where we're trying not to do too much. We're not trying to take on God's role. That can be difficult sometimes. But sometimes when we want to be in control, we start taking over for God, but not in a God-like manner. James chapter 4, let's go over there. James chapter 4 as we wrap this up. James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. What's he talking about? He's talking about Christians that are trying to be in control. Do it their way. Getting themselves in all sorts of trouble. Thinking that things are good when they're not. And so he says what? Give control to God. Draw near to God. Submit to God. Take all that joy, laughter you have, and what? Humble yourself. Mourn and weep. Turn to God. Humble yourselves in the presence of God. So change can be difficult. So how should we handle change? Well, basically, just kind of review what we've talked about this morning. Number one, try to make positive come out of it. Take personal stock. Number two, try to have the right perspective. Make sure you have first things first. Number three, let God be in control. Lean on God for help. So very important. So before we close, I think most of you know, there's a reason I talked about change. And that is because there's a change coming. Not overnight, but there's a change coming. I talked to the men Friday night to let them know of this change so that they can be prepared and they can start working for it. But if you have not heard, Tamara and I and Larissa have been offered a preaching job in Lakeland, Florida with the Edgewood Church of Christ. And we've accepted that. And so we are now going to begin a process of change, a process of moving from here to there. And there's a lot involved in that. As I told the men, we have no exact date. We are going to continue to work by their agreement with you. So things are going to continue to be pretty much the same as we make this transition. And that will afford the opportunity for you as a congregation the time to discuss and to plan and to figure out where you move forward as a congregation of God's people. But I want this to be something that I know it's going to be looked at as a sorrowful, negative thing, and we'll let it have that impact. But I want it ultimately to be a positive thing. We don't want anyone to have any hurt feelings. We definitely have no hurt feelings towards you. And we want to take this brotherly friendship and continue it into the future. So our goal, our tentative goal, is somewhere in November. We're hoping we can get everything planned out there, so that gives you guys some time to transition. We're here to help in any way that we can in that transition to make it as smooth as possible. But for the family and for myself, we just want to say thank you so much for wonderful 11 and a half years. I don't know if a preacher has stayed that long ever at Brea. So thank you for putting up with me for 11 and a half years. And that's the message we want. We just want you to know how much we love you and we thank you. And as we close, before we kind of close the invitation, I just kind of want to take you back to where all of this started. That's what we looked like when we all started. You probably should have known right there you were in trouble. We had a little 50s party for those who weren't there, and I dressed up as Elvis. And that's what our kids looked like when we first moved here. They don't look like that anymore. And you gave us a great opportunity to finish raising our kids here without them having to move to different schools. So we thank you so much for that. And then one of my favorite pictures I always cherish, this is me with your kids. And the kids are looking like, who is this freaky guy? What are you doing there? But we've all grown and we've all changed. And we need to make sure that this is a positive change, leaning on God for those answers. And to become a Christian is a positive change. It's not an easy change. It's a difficult change. To repent of sin and come back to God, it's not easy. But it's positive. It brings positive change. And so if there's someone here this morning that needs to change their life, to get their life right with God, to come back to God, we definitely want to help you in that change as we help each other the next few months. If that needs to be what was done in your life, won't you let that be known as together we stand and as we sing.